10:01. We have a large number of individuals already on the call. I'm sure more will trickle in as we go ahead and start. We're going to go ahead and start the quarterly call. So this is the fourth quarterly call for the federal fiscal year. We are really pleased that the success of these calls so far this year. I feel like it's been a really good venue for getting information out about the grants, getting information out about things that are going on over at the community living section, and just keeping an ongoing dialogue between the providers and the state unit. And we just very much appreciate all the feedback that we received over the year and all the participation by all the providers this year as well. So thank you very, very much. As we have promised in the past, we actually have our first guest speaker today. This is a somewhat familiar face, I believe, to most of the providers on the call, but it's Joan Franklin from the Wyoming Workforce Services. Joan is coming to us today. She is the program manager for the Senior Community Service Employment Program, which is formerly known as Green Thumb or 55+. And she is going to give us a little bit of information about the program, and we are very excited to have her. So thank you very much, Joan.
You're welcome. Thanks, Dirk. Good morning, everyone. Dirk misspoke. I don't think there's probably five people on the call that actually remember me from 10 years ago. But anyway, I'm with the Department of Workforce Services, and I wanted to give you first up a real quick background. I promised Dirk I would keep it short. For those on the call, it'd probably be like, what is the Department of Workforce Services and the Community Living section? What do those things have in common? So to be clear, under the Older Americans Act, as amended through Public Law 114 through 144, April 19, 2016, under Section 203, it states the Assistant Secretary, which would be your Lance Robertson, the Assistant Secretary for Aging, shall coordinate, advise, consult, and cooperate with the Secretary of Labor in carrying out Title V with the Corporation for National and Community Service in carrying out this act. Well, Title V is the Older Worker Program. It is under the Older Americans Act, but several years ago, it was transferred from HHS over to the Department of Labor because it's a better fit, because it's a labor program. It's not a services program like Title B or D, C1, C2, caregiver, all of those. So it is under the Department of Labor. All of these years, we should have been working together. And well, I don't know that we have, but we will now. So in short, the Senior Community Service Employment Program, what's the purpose? It's to serve eligible participants and update their knowledge, skills, and ability to be able to enter unsubsidized employment. Now, unlike the Older Americans Act, these folks have to be at least 55. And I know the Older Americans Act starts your eligibility at 60 for most people, but there are some other cases where you would be less than 60 maybe. But for your audience, at least 55 unemployed, have a qualifying income, 125% of poverty, have a disability, low literacy. There's eligibility guidelines, just like there is for all the other titles under the Older Americans Act. There's eligibility guidelines for this as well. The program in the state of Wyoming is split between state and federal. So out of our counties, the state is responsible for four of the counties. The federal government, under their contractor, is responsible for everyone else. So the ones that I have the most input on are going to be Natrona, Washakie, Fremont, and Hot Springs. And the businesses that, or host agencies as we call it, that employ participants eligible for this program have to be state, federal, or not-for-profit agencies. So I know that at least one senior center has an older worker, and it has been successful. I don't know that many of the other senior centers have older workers. I know when I was with the Division on Aging, we had an older worker in our office. And so it's a great program, but you got to be eligible. The participants are paid a wage of $7.25 an hour by the federal government, or the host agency that employs the client. They are out time for supervision and training, but they don't have to pay the client a wage. Let's see. So, changes. For the last historical amounts of time, the program has been run by the company called Experience Works. That has been synonymous in Wyoming with the Older Worker Program. This year, under RFP, it's a competitive bid process, Experience Works did not get the bid for the four counties that are under the responsibility of the state. The new company that was chosen is Senior Service America Incorporated, and they are out of Silver Spring, Maryland. Now, the update part of this is both companies are in the search for a program manager. And for the time being, I can provide a name for Experience Works should you have any questions about the program in your county. And that would be Jo Reinhardt for Experience Works, and her number is 717-440-3565, and I can send this to Dirk for dissemination if needed. And for Senior Service America, it's Christine Garland. Her number is 301-578-8932. So right now, the entire state is under-enrolled pretty, well, like a lot. The federal grant is under-enrolled by like 50%. The state grant is under-enrolled by about 32%. So we should have a lot of people out there that are eligible and qualified and may not have been made aware of the program. Now, they can only work 20 hours a week, but 20 hours a week at a minimum wage may just be enough to buy your meds, get your groceries, or put gas in the car. It's not a lot, but it fills the gap, and as they learn the skills to move forward into unsubsidized employment, if they're eligible, maybe they go on to get a full-time job. And those are the 3 minutes that I promised I would take up. Do you have any questions?
Well, Jo,
there's one question here.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Teeter from Services for Seniors in Wheatland. Had the privilege for 6 years of working for Green Thumb when it was Green Thumb, and had the Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah CSET program. Been very familiar with the program, love the program, and I believe it is still a rule, and folks need to know that you cannot supplant employees with Green Thumb or your Experience Works employees. That's still correct?
That is absolutely correct, Carol. Thank you for bringing that up. This is not a program where you go out and you try to find free labor on the federal dime. This is to provide education and training for a client to be able either to be hired by your agency, you can't just use them on the federal money, or to move on to another host facility or on to unsubsidized employment. It is not to be supplanted. You are correct. Okay, if
well,
there's any other questions, please feel free to send them in to Dirk, and I'll get back with you on that, because I don't want to hold up your meeting.
No, thank you very much. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you all.
Really good information, so thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you again to Joan for that wonderful presentation. We're going to move towards a little bit of just nuts and bolts of things that are coming up. And the first thing that I'd like to remind everybody about is our semi-annual director training. So we do this twice a year. Last one was done in, I think it was around February. So we're coming up on that time of needing to do that again. We've had a lot of new directors across the state. So this is really appropriate timing. That is going to be September 5th at 10 a.m. That's a Wednesday. So September 5th, 10 a.m. is going to be the new director training. This is offered once every 6 months, and most of these are recorded and put on our website. Most of these trainings are already on the website, but all in one place where you can come in and ask questions, especially if you're a new director or just want some refresher. This is open for everybody, but really important session. The next thing that I wanted to move to is a reminder about the conference. So we have, and since I have you all hostage right now, I get to plug in our aging conference. That is taking place the 2nd through the 4th of October. It's in Laramie, and we're partnering with WICOA to present this. So it is the 2018 Wyoming Conference on Aging, and our theme this year is the same as the federal theme, and it's Engage at Every Age. The 2nd is going to be a pre-conference event, which includes a workforce training, which provides actor-shooter training, board training, internal policies training, workers' comp and risk management training. There's also going to be a CDSMP peer leadership pre-conference, and then in the afternoon there'll be a pre-conference on hoarding, which is super exciting. I've heard this is just an awesome session, so we're really looking forward to that. Then Wednesday, October 3rd, is going to be a very large day with a number of breakout sessions and plenary sessions, including presentations from AARP. We believe Director Forslund and Percy Devine will be there for opening comments in the morning. Then we break out to three different sessions, which is going to be a provider track, a caregiver track, and then a track for the public. All of this is going to be super pertinent information to several different issues that have either been arising or we face every day in the aging community across the state, and it's really Wyoming focused. So we're really, really, really excited about this. Thursday is another day of plenary and breakout sessions, again, along those same three tracks, starting with an age-friendly and dementia-friendly projects in Wyoming. It's a showcase starting off in the morning, and then we do several different breakout sessions. So if anybody has any specific questions about that, please feel free to give me a call, or you can give Jenny Cox a call over at the Wyoming Center on Aging. Go ahead, if you would like to register or have any questions on that, her email address is jcox5@uw.edu. That's jcox5@uw.edu. Or her number is 766-2829. All right, enough with the plug for our own conference, but we'll go back to some pertinent information. I really want to give some big thank yous. I did this yesterday during the Aging Advisory Council, so Cynthia might already have heard this, but a big thank you on everybody for the federal grant cycle and the state grant cycle. So far, we've had a very good response and turnout with the grant applications, especially with that big change for indirect costs. I feel like it went very smoothly compared to what it could have been, and everybody works very diligently, and I want to thank the staff at CLS for their hard work at this as well. But more a thank you to all the providers for getting your grant applications in timely, and we also got all of the contracts for the state fiscal year done on time, which is awesome. This is a pretty big accomplishment, and it's just one of the ways that we're really trying to improve here as well. So thank you again. The contracts right now are being drafted for the state's fiscal year. I would expect those to be out to you guys sometime either end of August or beginning of September. Hopefully that should it's not like the WSSB where we have to get the board for WSSB, and then you guys assign, this is just directly to you, and then submit back to us. So it should go much more smoothly in terms of the timing for signatures. The next thing is that we've had a lot of questions regarding audit policies, and I can tell you that I've been working to update all of our internal audit policies. There was a PIN that was given out, and that's still effective, that was done in 2006 regarding the audit policies. Unfortunately, that PIN, although still effective, doesn't address what the federal requirements are for the single audit. That's been updated and addressed in the Uniform Grants Guidance, also in the pertinent Uniform Grants Guidance for each agency, which is under, for us, it's under 45 CFR. But basically, what we need to know now is that the single audit thresholds have changed. So basically, any subrecipient that's receiving or expending more than $750,000 in state or federal funds or a combination thereof must have an independent audit every year. Then there's different tiers, as you are all very familiar with the previous PIN, that go down. And those thresholds are starting at $750,000 and above. The next threshold is $500,000 through $750,000. And then the third threshold is $100,000 through $500,000. And the final threshold is under $100,000. I won't go into the very specifics of each of those thresholds because we're going to put out this policy by the end of the week so everybody can see it. But do know that we are addressing that. We're going to put it on the website. It's going to be on the provider resources page. And we're also received a few questions about audit requirements and the use of certain funds for paying for audits. So we will address that in the policy as well. So just a little update on that and what to expect on new resources on the provider resources page. Finally, I went to the conference in Chicago last week with Heather to the National Area Agencies on Aging Conference. And there was a ton of amazing information that we received at that. And one of them included this idea of memory cafes. Many of you may be already familiar with this, but this was a completely new concept to me, even though I've had a loved one that had a related dementia. This was still a very new concept to me, and I think it's something that's breaking through in the United States. And, you know, Wyoming could really get on board with being one of those leading states. And I think it fits squarely or very well within the programs that already exist in Wyoming. So back to what it is, it's a memory cafe. And what it is a welcoming place for individuals with Alzheimer's or any other related dementias or brain disorders. And it's a place where individuals can go, whether it's the caregiver or those who are afflicted with these types of illnesses, to have a safe and comfortable space where caregivers and loved ones can socialize, listen to music, play games, and enjoy other appropriate activities. I mean, it sounds to me like this could fall within B or E activities, and it would be a very amazing way of making Wyoming a lot more aging and dementia-friendly across the state. Typically, in other states, how this has been rolled out is either through a senior center or it's been through a local library or community college. It doesn't necessarily have to be the senior center, but it's something that we can all keep our eyes open to. And it's usually hosted maybe once a week, maybe once every other week, or even just once a month. But ideas like this is something that I think we could easily incorporate. I know everybody's really doing amazing things, but this is just another idea of how we could partner maybe with Alzheimer's Association or even Dementia Friendly to provide a more dementia-friendly community in Wyoming. So that's enough with my plugs. We'll get into the really good stuff that you guys really were here for, which is the program manager update. So we'll start with Caitlin for a Title IIIC update. Thanks, Caitlin.
Hi, everyone. I only have two brief things to talk about. The first is that I now have access to ESHA, which is a nutrition analysis program. I shouldn't say now, there's some technical difficulties going on, but hopefully in the next month I will have access to it. So our hope is to do a big menu update and kind of have a resource similar to South Dakota that many of you use. So we would have menus approved by a dietitian on our website. So that's just something that is a big project going forward. Nothing is set in stone now, but I just wanted to kind of put it on your radar. The second thing I wanted to talk about is that the Department of Family Services is starting up a new program called the SFP. It's Commodity Supplement Food Program. They are only doing it in two counties right now that I know of. The big push is in Natrona County to start off this year. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Jamie and Rita at Central Wyoming and Natrona County Meals on Wheels for all of their help with working with DFS. I'm hoping that this will be the start of a partnership with them. So again, nothing set in stone, but I just wanted to kind of put that on everyone's radar, and thank you to those in Casper who have been helping out. That's all I really have for today.
Thanks, Caitlin. Now we'll go to Jeff for a WISE update.
Hey, everyone. I really just have a few house cleaning things that we're going to talk about today for the Wyoming Home Services and a couple of the state programs. The first thing, and this is pretty high priority on our list, is the monthly invoices for the state-only programs. These have not yet been updated on our website to reflect the new fiscal year, We are working furiously with our fiscal department to get these updated and out to you. That way we can start paying off the July invoices. For those of you that have already submitted invoices, I apologize, we haven't addressed this yet. And unfortunately, we'll just have to have you resubmit those as soon as we get that financial invoice updated and out to you. Our goal right now is to make sure that we have that out to you before Friday, at which point you guys can go ahead and resubmit those or go ahead and submit your invoices for the month of July. And in regards to that, we know that we have set the deadline for August 15th on those invoices to be into us. And, you know, we understand that this was partially our issue as to not getting those out in a timely manner. So if you're going to have any issues getting those in by the 15th of August, just be sure to keep in contact with us here, me specifically, or any of the other program managers if you're going to have an issue, and we can work with you to get those in a timely manner or extend that deadline. Staying on the topic of reports, I also wanted to let the Vice Program Directors know that I'm going to be sending out a new quarterly financial report here in the next month or so. This is something that I am working with the fiscal department. They weren't happy with the fields rounding the dollar amounts, and so I'm working on updating those spreadsheets so that we don't have any rounding errors this year. And once we get that set up, I'll make sure I get those out to everybody so the quarterly reports will be able to be submitted on the new forms and we won't have rounding errors. Along with that, too, for the quarterly reports, I have some good news. For the WISE program, I'm no longer going to require the quarterly program reports that go along with the quarterly financial reports. This is something where I felt the information that we were gathering in the program reports was had a lot of overlap with data that we can get from SAMS and from the waiting list reports that we require monthly. So hopefully that's a relief to you guys that you don't have to do the quarterly program reports this year. To go along with that, though, I am going to ask that when you submit your monthly invoices that you also include your SAMS data for that month for the WISE program. Most of the providers are already doing this just because it's a requirement by the other program managers that they want SAMS data with their monthly invoices. So we're going to go ahead and put that as a requirement for my monthly invoices requirement. When you send in your invoices and P&Ls, just make sure that you include your SAMS data for that month as well. That rounds out the invoices and quarterly reports section of my discussion. I also wanted to let the WISE program directors know that I am currently working on updating the sliding scale fee for the WISE program. This is something that I hope to have out no later than the ACC training next week. If I happen to have it completely updated and finalized, I'll make sure that that gets out in an email to all the directors sooner than the ACC training. And finally, just to shift gears on the quality assurance side of my position, I wanted to let everybody know that as of yesterday, we finished all of the site reviews for the 2018 fiscal year, and we've also received back all of the desk reviews to CLS that were requested this year. So really just wanted to thank all of you, all of the directors and your staff for your cooperation in getting those desk reviews compiled and sent back to me in a timely manner. That I think it's great we got all these done in this short amount of time, and I know you were all really busy over the summer working on that and grant applications and everything. So again, thank you. And if I haven't yet gotten back to you on your desk reviews, I do apologize. I've been a lot of travel in my position too, so I want to let you know that I do have a deadline of the end of September to have those desk reviews actually reviewed and comments back to you by that time. And that's all I have today.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, we'll move on to Jeannie for an update on caregiver.
Hi, everyone. Hey, I just wanted to remind everyone that we're having the ACC Access Care Coordinator training August 16th and 17th in Casper. Thank you, Rita and her group, for hosting it. That's very nice of you. And then also that the caregiver policy and procedures will be coming out here shortly, revised policy and procedures will be coming out shortly. Questions? Thank you.
All right. Then we'll move on to Heather now for an update on SAMs and polls.
Thanks, Dirk. So quick update on SAMs. Those of you who are SAMs people, or you're if you are directors who also have access to SAMs, or your SAMs people might have noticed, you received an email from SAMs that you got a pretty significant SAMs update over the weekend on August 5th. If you've been trying to run reports after that, you might also have noticed that specifically for your C1 and C2 report that Jeannie and I built, that report might not be capturing all of your numbers and might not be matching with your rosters. So please, please, please double, triple check that SAMS report is matching against your roster that you should be keeping. If it's not, please don't hesitate to call either myself or Jeannie. We will walk you through a workaround. You'll have to run just a quick additional little report in SAM in order to double check that. We have already contacted SAM's customer support. They are aware of this issue. They have assured us that this is a very high priority for them to fix, so that it's capturing all the data that we need. But again, do be aware that that this is an issue. We are aware of it, but we want to make sure that you're aware of it as well, because we want your SAMS reports to accurately reflect your counts. We do want to make sure that you're being reimbursed for all the meals that you should be. So again, please do double check it against your roster. If you have questions, again, do not hesitate to call or email myself or Jeannie. That's what we're here for. If you have any other SAMS questions, again, that's what we're here for. So let us know. And then my other topic was just to quickly plug Pulse. Please remember that Pulse is there. It exists. It's a section on the website. Please make sure that you have, if possible, you have those forms available for people. If you have questions about that, please let me know. The forms are available on our website to download and print off, as well as the FAQ brochure, the bracelet order form. We really want to make sure that people know that the Pulse is out there and available. So thank you very much for helping us help people be aware of that. So with that, I'll give it back to Dirk.
Thanks, Heather. Now, finally, we'll go to Betty for the B update.
Hi, I don't have much to, check with you all. I just dovetail with what Jeff just mentioned on the reporting in invoice. And first of all, the invoice for foster grandparents and senior companions will be out as soon as we get it from fiscal on the updated invoice. And on the reporting, I just want to remind everybody that for the quarterly report, you need to submit it through regular mailing. And the invoice, you can submit it through CLS payments, and make sure that, the quarterly is submitted through regular mail. And also, I want to mention that on the invoices, if you have in-kind as your matching, it will be automatically deducted from your expenditure in the bottom part. If you have added the in-kind in your P&L, please make sure that you mark that P&L will be subtracted, so that the P&L will match your invoice total. Other than that, the reporting for monthly invoice, I don't need any SAMS report. I still will need the SAMS report for the quarterly program report, and that's the only difference between, you know, B and Jeff's program. In the meantime, if you have any questions, just give me a call or send me an email, and I will respond to each of your individual questions through email or phone call. And thank you very much for working with me to get the supplemental application information in. And I know that, you know, there are a couple of questions that are still waiting for clarification. And as soon as I get that, I will forward the answer to you all. Thank you again, and I'll just redirect it back to Dirk.
All right, thanks, Betty. Well, now I'll just go through some closing statements real quick, and then we'll turn it over to questions. But frankly, just a little bit unhappy with how we've been setting up calls, because I think it's been a little bit chaotic in terms of giving you guys enough notice. So we're just going to go ahead and set up the next call, and Heather's going to put out all the information and give you a couple of reminders beforehand going into this next call. But if you can mark your calendars now, the next quarterly call will be Wednesday, October 24th at 10 a.m. Now, barring my child, who's supposed to be due on October 15th, being right on time, I should be at this meeting, but just in case, I may be out. But Wednesday, October 24th is going to be the next quarterly call. And then one more reminder, semi-annual director training will be September 5th at 10 a.m. as well. All right, with that being said, we'll go ahead and turn it over to any questions that we can answer at this time.
You are all unmuted, so feel free to unmute yourselves on your end as well if you have any questions.
Hey, Dirk, this is Herb.
Hey, Herb.
Hey, just wondering on the WSSB, the first payment, will it go out next week, or do you know?
It's being processed right now, so we will be done with our end of it probably today. So it's just a matter of how long it takes to get through SAO, which is the auditor.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's more of the they have a new WOLV system, which is their internal database. This is going to be their big, I think, their big push. So I believe it's going to get out on time. We are giving them plenty of time to turn that over. So usually it takes them 2 days, but we'll see. It should be out no later than the 15th, though.
Okay, perfect. All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, well, if there's any other questions, feel free to give me a call individually, or you can shoot me an email. I've been really out of the office, so I'm just catching up on emails now. So thank you all for being on the call. Again, reminder, next quarterly call would be Wednesday, October 24th. Thank you very much.